One in our series in the book of Luke, and in this little section in Luke chapter number 12, we've been talking about stewarding our life, and we're going to look at this once again this morning. Luke chapter number 12, I'm excited about how God's been working in my heart and in my mind when it comes to the book of Luke, and especially chapter number 12 and this idea of stewarding life. Now, we've talked about this a little bit, and so we're going to go over a little bit, because last week we talked about the 10 leopards, and so this week we're going to look at this again, and this will be probably the last installment of the Stewarding Your Life series for a little while. It's amazing. You go through Luke, and as you're reading, I don't know about you, when I'm going through a series, I'm trying to read ahead also. Lots of times, some of the themes are repeated. They're different stories, different ways, but there are things that are important to Christ. Sometimes we don't make a big deal out of it, but in all reality, Christ makes a big deal out of it. And the theme this morning is talking about stewarding your life by looking for his coming, or stewarding life looking for his coming. And that idea is that Jesus Christ is going to come back someday. And how we live our life should be in anticipation that he could come back at any moment, any time. I remember my job when I was... When I came back from Pensacola, I had gone to Pensacola Christian College and went there only for 1 year, and I found my wife. So I went, found my wife and came home, didn't need to go back. I knew I was supposed to be in Bible college somewhere, got some bad advice, didn't go back. But while I was there, I was supposed to only be there for the summer. I got a job as a telemarketer. Man, what a horrible job. And I got a secondary job. My secondary job was to be I was working as a gatherer at a bookstore. Now you say, what's a gatherer? Well, it was a company that would sell books and they would send them out. It was called Christian Books. It was GCB, Great Christian Books. And it was a little store. It was a little store that was owned by a family. Well, the store was growing at an increased rate because they dove into a homeschool. They sold a bunch of homeschool stuff. And it came so big that they had to hire people. And they hired people to work at night, the midnight shift, to go around and fill these orders and gather them up, put them in carts so they get shipped out. Well, there was no supervisor at night. And they hired a bunch of kids, probably from the age of about 16 to 23 or 24, to work. And they're supposed to be doing what they're supposed to do all night long. I think you all know how that worked out, right? So it didn't take very long. I had already had management experience for the restaurants. It didn't take very long after that they realized that they needed somebody there to help. And nobody else wanted to stay up that late. So they offered me the job to just oversee what was going on. And at the beginning, I said, no, I'm going back to college. And, well, it didn't work out. I knew I wasn't going to go back to college, so they made me the gathering manager. Isn't that exciting? Gathering manager. What a title. Isn't that great? Well, the store kept on getting bigger and bigger. The mail order side of it, it kept on getting bigger and bigger. And they needed to gather for 24 hours, and they needed to ship for 24 hours, and they needed to receive longer shifts. So they wanted to put everything from the whole warehouse under one position. And they offered me the job to do that position. They called it the warehouse manager. It sounds better than what it was. It's the fact nobody else wanted to do it. But I had a lot of people that worked with me and under me. But there was a 24-hour shift there, and there was a midnight shift. Once again, when I became the warehouse manager, I moved to daytime, just because who's going to want to stay up all night if you don't have to? And so in the midnight shift, we had to... Many times I would go back during the midnight hours and I would check on them to make sure they were doing work. You say, well, why would you have to do that? Remember, I worked with them a year ago. I knew what they did when no one was keeping an eye on them. And I would have to go back and I would go up sometimes at midnight, sometimes at 1, sometimes at 2 in the morning, things like that, just to make sure everything was going on the way it was supposed to. And sometimes people lost their jobs because they weren't doing what they were supposed to. And sometimes they walk in and I ask them, hey, you know, they were sitting inside the room. What are you doing? I said, we're on our 10-minute break. Yeah, I guess every 4 hours you're supposed to have a 10-minute break back then. I will say, how long has your 10-minute break been lasting? And they like a half hour, you know, things like that. They needed someone. And as they knew I was coming on a regular basis to check on them, you know what they did? They stopped goofing around so much because they knew that someone's going to come and check on them sometime soon. Now, this great Bible doctrine we have today is the idea that we should live in anticipation that Christ could come back at any time, and we should steward our life with this thought, I do not want to be ashamed of what I'm doing when he comes. I should, he said, well, Pastor, that seems a little bit odd. You mean you're saying that I should base my whole life on the fact that Jesus Christ could come back at any time? And I should base my whole life on the fact that I should work and I should wait and anticipate he's coming and I just want him to be pleased the moment he comes back? The answer is yes. And it's found in the Bible, not just this morning. It's found in the Bible in the next chapter. And then chapters after that and chapters after that, he tells parable after parable after parable about make sure you're looking for the day he comes. And has any of us given thought today that Jesus Christ could come back today? I have, because I'm preaching the message. But have you? And the idea is, so each day it should be on our prayer list or inside our devotions. You know what? Jesus could come back today. I want to make sure I'm doing what he wants me to do today. And there's a way to steward your life to do that. So that's a couple, let's remember a couple of things that we've learned already about stewarding your life. Remember, the life is a gift from God. Remember, we went that was the beginning of it. Remember, life is a gift from God. What we do with our life is our gift to him. The purpose of that gift of life that he's given us is to bring glory to God and to bring others to Christ. We use that word steward, one who manages the affairs of others, one who manages the affairs of others. And we've gone over this a little bit, so we're not going to keep on beating it over your head. But God is the owner, we're the managers. God has given us life. He's given us a certain amount of time. He's given us resources. He's given us relationships. He's given us all these things. So we can steward them for him. So let's look at the different ways. And once again, it's not, I know most times when you think about stewarding, you're talking about time, you're talking about money, but we've been looking at it from Luke chapter 12. Jesus is teaching his disciples some important truths. First thing we looked at, he says, you should steward your life by fearing God. You're going to waste your life by living by the fear of man. Fear of man brings a snare. Now, if you live your life with wanting to please the Lord and not wanting to disappoint God, all those different things, you're going to steward your life well. Remember, God's giving you this life. You're going to do well if you live in the fear of God and not the fear of man. We also looked at the idea of stewarding your life by bewaring covetousness. You can waste your life away with things and items and coveting not only possessions, but people, other things like that. Also, stewarding your life by not worrying. That's an important thing to remember. You know, many times people can lose faith and can lose their service for God by worrying and spending their life worrying and wasting their life worrying. And the fourth thing is what we're looking at today is stewarding your life by watching for his coming. This is a wonderful doctrine in the Bible that teaches us that Christ could come back at any moment, any time. He even tells us he will return to the world someday. Now, some of you might be new Christians. You might be, what do you mean he's going to come back? Well, he says in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 1 and 2, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. So Jesus is saying that no one knows the times, no one knows the hours, no one knows the seasons, but he's going to come back as a thief in the night. Remember last week on Sunday night, we had the Lord's Supper, we observed the Lord's Supper, and we looked at this verse, and it said in 1 Corinthians 11:26, for as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show forth the Lord's death till he come. That means that Jesus, in the Bible, there's a doctrine of the Bible that he is going to return. Now, there's two different sides of that, and we don't want to get into a long discussion about it, but just for understanding's sake. There is a time when he will come, he will catch away his church. This is what's called the rapture, that he will take those that are believers and Christians, and he'll take them away in something that's called the rapture. Then later on, he will come back, and he will rule and reign on this earth in his second coming. Now, when we look at this story today in this anticipation, we're going to look at it from the angle and the thought process as us as believers getting ready for the day he's going to return. We do not know when that day is. When he returns, we will be required to give an account of our stewardship of our times that we spend on this earth as believers. So when he comes back and he catches his church away, or during the rapture, when we are brought up, we will be brought before the judgment seat of Christ, and we will be required to give a stewardship of what we did as believers. We're going to have to give an account. It's one of the reasons why we should be ready, because number one, because we love him and because he loved us. But number two, it's because we're going to have to give an account. Those guys and girls that worked for me at Great Christian Books, They, if they did not have to give an account, they would do foolish things. I mean, they would take a nap while being getting paid to work. They would go outside and have snowball fights while being paid to work. They needed someone to say, hey, look, you're going to have to be accountable here. But many times we live our lives day after day after day, never giving consideration that Christ is going to come back and someday we're going to be accountable for what we did in this world as a believer. Later on, I mentioned that in the book of Luke, it tells multiple times in Luke chapter 16, verse number 2, Jesus gives a parable. He says, and he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? He's talking about a owner speaking to a steward. Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. So it's a parable, and he's saying here, look, the owner says to the steward, I want you to give an account of what you've been doing, because no longer you're going to have that opportunity. We're going to look at that in whatever week we get to Luke chapter 16. So there's some different things here in this story, and we got a lot of verses to read here. We're going to go through here. I'm going to read the story a little bit, and then we're going to look at three different things about how to steward our lives by watching for him. Luke chapter number 12, let's go ahead and start in verse 34, just because that's a great verse, and that's where we ended last week. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The things you're passionate about, that's where your heart's going to be. If you're not passionate about God and passionate about his word, that's not where your heart's going to be. But God says that we're supposed to love him with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind. Let's keep on going. Verse number 35. It says, let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. So he's speaking once again to the crowd and even to his disciples. He says, let your loins be girded about. So what in the world does the loins girded about means? Now, that means back in Bible times, they didn't wear pants suits. The disciples didn't. They wore long robes. They were flowing robes. And with that, girding your loins mean that they would pick up the portion that was flowing and they would gird it around them so that way they would be able to run or be able to work without any type of being slowed down or stumbling over their robe. So they would say, hey, you need to be ready. You need to make sure that you have your loins girded. And the idea that you don't have to take time to get ready, that Jesus is coming back and we should be ready for the moment he comes back. Let's keep on going. It says here, not only about having your loins girded, but it also says, and your light's burning. Make sure your light is already burning. Make sure you're ready. Make sure you're showing forth that light. Verse 36, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord. So he's making this consideration. He's speaking to this in a sense, a parable here, even though it doesn't use the word parable. He says, you look, you're waiting. You're at the home. You're a servant of the Lord. The Lord has left to go to a wedding. He says, when he will return from the wedding. So you're a servant of this Lord. You're there. You're working. You have things that you're supposed to be doing. The Lord has left. They've gone to a wedding. And when he returns, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Now, for a person to be able to see when the owner is coming and when the master is coming, you need to be watching for him, don't you? There's no way you're going to open immediately without not knowing that he was, by not knowing the fact that he could possibly coming. Verse number 37, he said, blessed, which means happy, or the person that is blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself. Now listen to the reward that's here. If the person is looking for him and finds him working and finds him watching, he will gird himself and make them to sit down to meet and will come forth and serve them. I think what the Bible is saying is that they are going to be rewarded. Verse number 38, and he shall come in the second watch. And if he shall come in the second watch, now that second watch is referring to the second watch of the night. That's from 9 p.m. to midnight. Or come in the third watch, which would be midnight to 3. Once again, people don't usually like to be working during that time period. He's saying, even if he comes in those times and find them so, blessed are those servants. That means even working in the harder times, the darker times, the times when everyone else is not working. And this know that if the good man of the house have known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Now, this is giving you an illustration here. Jesus is saying, well, picture this. If you know there's a thief that's going to come to your house, wouldn't you be prepared for that? Wouldn't you be ready for that? Now, I know many of our church members, a lot of them are hunters, many are gun owners, and if there was a thief that was coming to their house, they would be ready for that thief to come. And they would be there, and they would be ready, or whether you use a dog, or whether you had the police sitting, or whatever. If you knew someone was going to come and break into your house, you would be ready and waiting for that. And Jesus is giving this example. I'm coming someday. You should be watching. You should be waiting, you should be ready, and you should be working. Just as you would be ready for that thief that you knew was going to come, you should be ready today, because you know I might come too. Let's keep on going. And it says in verse number 40, be therefore ready also. So he says, that's the type of readiness I want you to have. For the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. So when you don't think he's coming, he's saying that's when he's coming. Now, Peter interrupts here. Now, Peter's good at interrupting, but he says something. He asks a question. Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us or even to all? He's like, who are you talking to? Is this specifically for us, as we looked at before, that Jesus would turn and talk privately to his disciples? And sometimes he'd be talking out, and he's wondering this. He said, you're speaking to the whole crowd. Is this really supposed to be for us? Should you be saying this now? Can you give me some understanding? And so the Lord responds with this. And the Lord said, who then is the faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? He says, it's the manager, the owner, is going to make that person blessed. Because verse 43, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find him so doing. He wants to find him working and doing as he's supposed to do. Verse 44, of a truth I say unto you that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. He's going to reward the person that is watching and working and waiting. And then he says in verse 45, but, and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. Now, I really believe that is talking about a false steward, someone who was truly not a steward and of him. And he's saying, look, that person that acts this way is a person that will be judged. Verse 47, and that servant which knew his Lord's will, the person that knew God's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. Well, what does that mean? That means this is serious. It's not a game. There's rewards for it, and there will be punishment. Let's keep on going. And it says in verse 48, but he that knew not and did commit those things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. And here's a principle that's important to remember. For unto whosoever much is given of him shall much required, be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. So what Jesus is saying here is that, look, if you've been given much, you're going to be required much out of. As being a part of a church, as Bible teaching, Bible preaching, maybe being saved for many years, you have going to be required much out of. Now, here's a couple of things, and the sermon this morning really isn't super deep, but there are some really important truths. We should be looking for Jesus Christ. How do we steward that? How do we make our lives look like we're looking for him? First thing I want you to see is stewarding your life by watching for his coming. Stewarding your life by watching for his coming. Look what it says in verse number 35. It says, we will be ready to serve him. In Luke chapter 12, verse 35, we'll be ready to serve. He says that we're going to have our loins girded. It means that we're going to be ready to work. We're going to be ready to serve. We're going to be ready to go. You ever try to be ready to go somewhere and you're trying to get your family get going and it takes a while and they haven't put their shoes on? My sons are really good. One of them is really good at it. I'm not going to embarrass them. They say I talk too much about them. And we're there. They know we're supposed to be leaving, you know, in 20 minutes and you're there. We're all getting ready. All of us are busy, all the hurry. And there's one that's sitting there. It's time to go. I don't got my shoes on yet. I want to leave them. I just, well, you don't get to wear shoes today. They're just not ready for the time that, you know, you are supposed to be ready. You know, we've been doing all these things. We've been getting all these things ready. You haven't done pretty much anything but just sit there. And then you say, I'm just not ready to go. I need to get my shoes on. You hear that sometimes when we drive in the cars, they like to take their shoes off when we have a long trip. I hate that because it smells the car out, but they say it doesn't. They know we're getting ready to stop 10 minutes down the road. And when we're driving and we're traveling, we want to get going. We don't like stopping, because of the fact we want to get wherever we're supposed to go. And they know we're going to stop a few minutes down the road. We're all supposed to get out of the car. We're all supposed to try to go use the bathroom. We're all go get whatever we need to get. The thing drives me crazy. Sometimes they say, well, I don't have my shoes on. Did you not see us put the blinker on? Did you not see us slow down? Did you not see us enter into the parking lot? Did you not see the gas station sitting there? Did you not know you were going to get out and use the bathroom? You knew all these things. And guess what? You don't have your shoes on. I mean, you say, Pastor, what are you doing? You're being a tough parent. No, I'm saying that they weren't ready. They just were not ready. And, you know, Jesus is saying, hey, look, I'm coming back someday. You need to be ready for it. You need to have your shoes on. You have your loins girded about. You need to make sure that you're ready for the day I come back. And it's not me. This is Jesus is saying. I mean, most of us say, well, he's going to come back in a couple thousand years. He's not going to care if we're not doing what we're supposed to do. I mean, it's been, what, 2,000 years since he's been talking about this and he hasn't come yet? What's the big deal? He says, I want you to be ready. Not only do I want you to be ready, I want you to be shining your light. Shining your light too. Means that not only are you ready for the day I'm coming, but you should let other people know that you're ready for the day you're coming too. Look what it also says in the next thing. Stewarding your life by watching for his coming will mean that we will be waiting and watching. Look what it says in verses 35 and 36. Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. And ye yourselves like unto the men that wait for their Lord, and when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, that they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom when he cometh, shall find him watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. I want you to understand that he actually says, not only should we be ready for the trip, not only should we make sure that our hearts are right and our hearts are clean, and we live with the anticipation that Jesus would come back today. I need to make sure I do this. I need to make sure I've witnessed to this person. I need to make sure I've done this. I've done all these things. He says, not only do I want you to be ready, I actually want you to be watching, and I want you to be waiting for me. He says, I want you to live with the anticipation that I could come back, and I want you to do your day-by-day things thinking, you know what? He could come back today. I need to make sure that I'm waiting for him, that I'm watching. Is he here? If he came back, would he be pleased with what I was doing? If he came back, would he be pleased at how I'm serving? Would he be pleased at how I'm singing? Would he be pleased at how I'm treating my family? I need to be watching for him. I need to be watching with anticipation that he's going to be coming, and he's going to be coming. I imagine that I think about that sometimes when people are watching for someone to show up when they have maybe a surprise party for them. You know, they got there and they're sitting there, you're watching. Are they coming yet? Are they coming yet? And you're anticipating that the moment that they come, you're going to do something. I think that's how Christ wants us to live our lives. It says it here. Once again, for me or you, you might be saying, Pastor, this seems kind of strange, but he says it right here. He says, not only does he want you to be watching, he wants you to be waiting, so that way when you see him coming up the drive, you can actually open the door for him immediately. As soon as he knocks, he doesn't want you to have to go from upstairs. He says, no, I want you to be watching and waiting so that that moment that I come, you'll be ready for me. And it'll be an anticipation that you've been watching for him and that you've been waiting. Hey, I knew you could come today. I'm ready for you. Now, see, back then in Bible times, the weddings would last only, I mean, we think of weddings, and we think of a wedding service that lasts maybe an hour in the auditorium and maybe an hour back in the reception, or maybe a couple hours back in the reception if they're eating a dinner. Back in Bible times, the wedding would last sometimes 6, 7, 8, 9 days. Could you imagine that? Wow. Now, of course, hopefully the wedding only took for a little while. You get to eat the other days, but, you know, it gets a little while. And, you know, they didn't know when the wedding was going to be over. They didn't know when the master was going to return. But it was their responsibility to keep doing what they were supposed to do day by day, day in, day out, doing it even though the master was not there, even though the Lord was somewhere else. And when he returned, they were supposed to be living their life that they looked every day saying, he could come back today. Let's make sure the house is all right. Let's make sure that all the people have what they're supposed to have. And let's make sure we're doing what we're supposed to do as if he was here. And if you're going to steward your life, you're going to have to be watching for him each and every day. You should get up in the morning in the least and say, Lord, you could come back today. What is it you want me to do today? Lord, I'm waiting for you to come back. Lord, I have prepared myself for the day you could come back. Third thing I want you to think about is not only should the steward be watching and waiting and be ready to serve, he should be working. Now, I know that in our thinking, in our vernacular, we think, okay, great, I'll go sit by the window and I'll look for Jesus to come. And I'll just sit there all day because he wants me to watch and wait. And I say, that's not what he wants us to do. He wants us to steward our life. Once again, our life is a gift from God. He has given us our life. We have been bought with a price. Our bodies is not our own. They're His. Our life belongs to Him. So we need to make sure that we're ready for Him when He comes back. We need to make sure we're watching or waiting. But He didn't want the person to sit by the door and just stand there the whole entire time. He wanted them to be doing something. Look what it says in these verses. Look what it says in verse 43. Verse 43 said, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Shall find what doing? Well, look what it says in verse 42. Who then is that faithful and wise steward who his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? So they had a responsibility. They had something that they were doing, and he found them doing. When he returned home, you know, the people have been fed. The fields have been taken care of. The animals have been taken care of. Everything is done. Everything is right. They were doing it. They weren't just standing by the door looking. There's a process here for all of us. So we must be ready for when he comes. We must be watching and we must be waiting, but we should be working also. Will he find us working? Then you go to verse number 48, and it says at the end that thought there, for unto whomsoever much is given of him shall much be required. You know, we've been given so much. And I know that maybe because we don't get everything we want, we think that we're not blessed. But man, we are truly blessed. I mean, we sit in a church auditorium that is heated. To me, it's too hot, but it's heated in here. And we sit on padded pews. But I mean, that besides that, we've been given the gospel. We've been given salvation. We've been given so much. We live in America where most people, if not all, have plenty to eat and have a place to sleep that is dry and has a place that is temperature controlled many times. We are blessed. We have so much that's been given to us. He says, you're going to be required of that. Someday when you come, you're going to have to give an account of what you did since you've been saved. A steward of that, now give an account of it. You've had this opportunity. I don't like thinking about that. You know, I grew up and I was in church for my whole life. Went to a good church. Got to go to a Christian school most of my life. I have a lot to answer for. I have a lot that I'm going to be required of. And you know what? Sometimes that humbles me. And it should humble us. That I should be working. He's coming back. He's done so much for me. Should I not be doing things for him? Amen. Next thing I want you to think about is some reasons why and you know, different things that we are required for. I wrote down the gospel. You know, we've been given much of the gospel. We should be giving it out. The Bible. You know, he gave us his word, and we should be studying. A church. We have so much to be that will be required of our family. I thought for just a few minutes, and let's just be honest, a lot of people aren't watching for him's coming. We talk about it. He could come back today. That's great. That's wonderful. Amen. Praise the Lord. Pat each other on the back. That's good, and we should be looking forward to it. But a lot of people just aren't watching. This is not on their prayer list. This is not their thought process when they wake up in the morning. He could come back today. He wants it to be on our thought process. He wants us to steward our life, saying he could come back today. I don't want to put things off. Here's some reasons why people do not watch. Here's some three. I got three things there people don't watch. Number one, sometimes people are skeptical. Reason why sometimes people are not watching and they're not waiting and they're not ready to serve and they're skeptical. They say, is it going to return? In 2 Peter 3:4, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. There are people who are skeptical and say, is he really ever going to turn back? Well, the Bible says, the word of God says, you know what? He's coming, and we believe the Bible. We believe the word of God. He is coming back, so we need to live our lives with anticipation. He could come back today. That means I need to make sure my relationships are right. That means I need to make sure that I've told everybody he wants me to tell. That means I need to give like he wants me to give. And I want to serve like he wants to serve because I want to be ready for the day he comes back. Now, I want to remind you, you know, as a day with the Lord is like 1,000 years. So in all reality, it's only been a couple of days for him since he's died and since he went back up to heaven. So people are going to be skeptical. That's why some people do not watch. And once again, that hopefully is not a believer. Next thing is, some people are forgetful. Last week we had that Lord's Supper, and one of the main reasons why we do the Lord's Supper is because we forget. This do in remembrance of me. He says, remembrance of me, remembrance of me, remembrance of me. Why is that? Because he wants us to remember what he did. Because when we remember what he did, we're going to want to live for him. We're going to want to serve him. We're going to want to steward our lives because he gave himself for us. The Bible says, for as often as you drink this, eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show forth the Lord's death till he come. We do these things in remembrance of him. It's because we forget. The reason why many times people are not watching and waiting is because we forget he's coming back. You know, since I already picked on my boys enough today, I'll pick on them again. Now, sometimes one of their favorite words in the last year has been, I forgot. I asked you to do this. I forgot. Now, don't get me wrong. We give them a long list of things to do. So I try to be kind and generous because as the older I get, this forgetting thing happens more often. I like to write things down. Because if it's not written down, more than likely I'm going to forget. And the reason why he does the Lord's Supper and the reason why he tells us here and the reason why we do need to be reminded of this, and we're going to be reminded next chapter, we're going to be reminded in chapter 16, we're going to be reminded later on, is because we forget. Write it down. Jesus could come back today. And that is supposed to change the way I live. Last but not least, the reasons why people are not watching. Sometimes people are skeptical. Sometimes people are forgetful. This is the scary one. Sometimes people are concerned about other things more. They just don't care. I don't care the way that Jesus finds me. That is a bad place to be. We should care. You know, you get the story here and you look at the story. It talked about in verse... It talked about how they're saying that the Lord is going to tarry and that they could do whatever they want. And they made this idea that they can serve any way they want. In verse number 45, my Lord delayeth his coming and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens and to eat and drink and to be drunken. They just don't care. Okay, he's not going to come back for a few more days. And because he's not going to come back for a few more days, I can do whatever I want for those few days. And then I'll just fix things before they leave, before everything. It's sort of like when your wives go out of town and you know they think that you're going to clean the house all week. You wait until like an hour before they show up and you go and clean up the whole house. You know, I'm going to live whatever way I want. And then that hour ahead of time, I'm going to go and fix everything. That's what they're saying here. Look, we don't know when he's coming back. We should care about his return. We should care about what he wants. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loved the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That means if you love the things of this world, that means your love for God is not what it should be. Let's think about it. Are you concerned with the fact that he's coming back? The fact he's coming back is a rejoicing thing, and we should be excited, and we should be looking forward to it, but we should live our lives caring. You know what? He did this for me. I want to do this for him. He deserves it. He is God. He is owner. I am just manager, and I want to steward my life, and I don't want to fear what man says. I want to care about what God says, and I don't want to waste my life worrying about the temporal things of this world and covetousness, and I don't want to waste my life by worrying and worrying and worrying. There's no faith when worry is present, and I want to live my life saying, Jesus Christ, come back today, and I want to be concerned about him and what he thinks more than anything else. But that doesn't usually happen. Why? It's because, let's look, I'm really excited about getting this, or I'm really concerned about my family, or I'm concerned about this hobby, or this possession, or this work. It's okay to be concerned about things as we steward our life the right way, but we should be concerned first and foremost with him. He is owner, we are manager. Do we steward our lives? Are we ready for the day he comes? Are we watching and waiting for that? And are we really working? Sometimes I think many of us are going to be ashamed of the day he came. You know, I know the judgment seat of Christ, the judgment seat of Christ is going to be a time when people are going to get rewards. I think it's going to be a time when people are going to be disappointed too. that they didn't do what they should have for him. One more thing. And this is not just something tack on the end, but I want you to listen. We should be ready for his coming by making sure we know him. The rapture is something that will happen when the church, when Christ comes back for his church and calls his church home. If you do not know him as your Savior, you're in trouble. You need to make sure that you know him personally. Have you ever asked Christ to save you? I mean, the message has mostly been intended for those that know Christ and being a good steward and accepted Christ already, and we're ready to go, and we're watching, and we're waiting, and we are working. But the question is, do you know him today? Do you know him personally? If he came back for his church today, would you be drawn up? I heard one preacher use this as an example. He talked about having a magnet, and then you had a really, really powerful magnet, and then you had dirt. You had dirt, a bunch of dirt with nails in it. And as the magnet went across it, it would draw up the metal because it was like it, but it would leave the dirt behind. It's like when Christ comes back, he's going to draw up those that has his spirit in him, but everyone else be left behind. Would you be one of those people? Would you be left? He could come back at any moment, any time, any day. And I believe from what the Bible says, if you've heard a good, true presentation of the gospel, and you chose not to believe that once the rapture happens, your fate is sealed. I believe that millions will be saved during the time of the great tribulation. I believe many will turn to Christ, but personally, I think that your fate will be sealed according to what the Bible says. Do you know him today? Don't keep on putting it off. Jesus Christ could come back today. Are you ready? And Christian, have you stewarded your life away with this thought process? He's coming back. And I go back to that work. And we got rid of a lot of people that would goof around when we weren't there. But when they knew I was coming back once or twice a week to check on them, not knowing when, things changed. When we live this thought process, hey, look, the Lord's coming back someday. There's some things I need to get straight. There's some things I need to get worked out. There might be someone in this room today that needs to be saved. Is that you? If not, are you really, truly ready to go? Or do you still need to put your shoes on? Are you watching for it? And are you waiting for it? Anticipating he could come back today. Is there something you need to fix first? Is there somebody you need to forgive? Is there somebody you need to tell the gospel to? Is there someone you need to demonstrate Christ's love to? And are you working? Remember, we've been given much. We have much privileges. As a believer that lives in America today, I think we're going to be acquired much. The Word of God is available to all of us. How many copies of the Bible do you have? I know I have multiple copies. The Holy Spirit lives in us. We have the opportunity to pray to much to whom much is given. Much is going to be required. Are you ready to meet him? I want to be. I pray you can say, I'm going to look at my life and I'm going to steward my life with the thought Jesus is going to come back today. That means I can't hold grudges. That means I can't hold on to the things of this world. And that means I got to take the opportunities God gives me to serve him. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed for a time of invitation. I want you to consider how